Welcome to Self-Proclaimed Intellectual.
You've just got a smile and hang out with intelligent people.
Well, welcome again to Self-Proclaimed Intellectuals. This is episode 2. How are you doing, Adam?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm really excited. Did you know by doing episode 2, we have single-handedly doubled the amount of podcasts we have ever done?
That's amazing. That ratio is just going to keep getting better and better.
It's crazy. We are right now doubling the amount we've done. I'm proud of us.
I'm changing my resume as we speak. My CV.
Yes. I don't know what CV is.
Yeah, dude. Latin. Curriculum vitae, man.
Sorry.
It's all good. Hey, learning something new every day.
Like I said, I'm going to own on this podcast everything I do not know.
That's perfect. It'll cause you to come face to face with it and address those.
And by face to face, you mean face with you.
That's right. It's like looking into a mirror that doesn't work very well.
And realizing Travis is much smarter than I am.
Hardly. But at least you're the attractive one.
Yes.
Everyone on the podcast likes you better.
What did you say the other day? I have face for radio?
Hardly.
Thank you.
You got a beard for the wild.
Yes.
Well, I'm Travis Lane. And
I'm Adam Dreher.
And this is Adam. And this is Self-Proclaimed Intellectuals. And today we're going to have 3 segments for you. We're going to have a Near the Fringe segment. It's going to talk about dystopias. And we're going to use...
Which is some sort of disease, right?
That's correct.
That's an STD?
You caught me off guard with that one. We're going to talk about dystopias and kind of police states based on the anime Psycho Pass. My wife and I are big anime watchers, so it's not going to be like a nerd out session. We're going to use it as a framework to talk about some concepts. We're going to have a blindsided where Adam is going to trick me by asking me a question that I have not prepared for at all.
Yes, it'll be great.
And then we're going to have a stop sucking on how to master interpersonal skills in a single sentence. So, let's go ahead and get started.
Near the Fringe!
Okay, so Psycho Pass is an anime that came out last season, sometime in 2013, I believe. My wife would totally know this. And basically, it's a world where...
Were you both in the anime before you got married?
Yeah, more or less. She's way more into it than I was.
I like SpongeBob. Is that within the confines of anime, or do you think that's not quite?
You know, we're a very accepting community, I think. So whatever you want to do, it's fine.
I really do like SpongeBob.
I don't have any complaints about SpongeBob. You ever seen the creepypasta Squidward Suicide?
No.
I haven't seen it, but I've seen of it, and I'm like, I don't think I can handle this.
That is your homework assignment, listeners.
Oh man, now I feel bad. Yeah, it's okay. No, anyway, let's get started.
Quit getting off task.
So Psycho Pass is this world where there's a Sybil system. It's like this police system, and what it does is it reads people's biometrics, and basically it's kind of like Minority Report, where it can predict latent criminals, people that are likely to commit crimes based on their emotional profiles and their history and stuff. Another aspect of this system is that it assigns people the jobs that they are most comfortable with or most apt for. And so my question was to you, Adam, and we'll discuss this, is if we could have some sort of a system, if this could be reality, where we have a technology system that can predict criminal behavior and stop it before it happens, and can also assign you the job that you are most apt for, would you want to live in that kind of system?
It's a pretty cut and dry for me. If it was a Windows-based system, absolutely not. Absolutely not. If it was
Blue screen of death literally means that they shoot you.
I mean, yeah, imagine that. You know, they're in the middle of a trial with this system, and they are deciding to see if you are going to commit a murder, and it starts showing code. Terrible.
CMD.exe. What's happening here? Am I guilty?
Well, you know, you asked me that question, and I feel a little bit blindsided by it. Get it?
I got it.
You know, I think that's one of those things that's I would be middle of the road on. I even being a education professional, I do completely feel there should be more of almost assigned. I feel some people are. I do not believe that so many should be going to college, or college should be slightly different. I believe completely in technical colleges and and finding your niche and those kind of things. So I feel that a system on the side of assigning people their what they're most apt for would be great, as long as there's an out. As long as they say that. That's, see? You know, as long as there's a, I accept that you think I would be good at that, but I choose to follow my dream and try to become this.
I see.
As long as you're able to do that.
Yeah, see, the choice thing for me is a big deal. So I think that I would choose not to live in this system.
Yeah.
Obviously, the crime benefits are huge when you can predict it. But if there are any false positives, then you know.
Well, I would find it interesting on the side of the job situation.
Yes.
The crime side would probably be a different thing.
Okay.
I'm going to let you guys into the brain of Adam Dreher here, and I would find this system interesting because, I mean, and this gets into a whole other stuff, and I'm sure if we get a fan base, there's going to be people that disagree with this, but like I'm a concealed carry holder.
Mm-hmm.
I believe in owning a gun, and I believe in the right for me to protect my family. Imagining a thief or somebody coming to our house and doing something to them tears me apart. And there have been lots of times when I'll be laying in bed and I'll hear something, and for the next 30 minutes I'll be going through my head situations of how I would deal with that attacker.
Yeah.
and shoot them, and to be blunt with you. And so it'd be interesting to see if that system read those thoughts, would I look like a person that
right
could do those things? Because right. In my mind, I would do those things if pushed to that point.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be interesting to see if that system could differentiate between I would do those things for
like,
protection
like
of my family.
Intent
or
versus willingness one way to
or if it. That system would just say, yeah, he'd shoot somebody.
Gotcha.
And call it good.
Interesting.
You know?
Okay. So the implementation is important. I would agree with that.
Yeah.
So one of the things, and they explore some of these themes in the show, one of the themes that they explore is, you know, are people really satisfied by just being assigned a job based on their aptitude? Or does it remove the fulfillment that they get from choosing and investing in that path? And I think for me, even though, I still have more success that I want to attain.
Yeah.
Without the pursuit of that, with just saying, well, you're great at this, therefore you're going to be this.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel fulfilling to me.
Although I think it would just have to be in the middle of the road and still leaving the choice. It's more of a suggestion. Because how many college students are there out there that have no idea what they want to do?
Yeah, absolutely.
They have absolutely no direction. And if we had a system that was able to tell, you would be good at this, and it was a system that we trusted, I think a lot of people would say, oh my goodness, thank you for some direction, because I have no idea what I'm going to do, and I'm going to just spend the next 6 years spending thousands of dollars on something that I decided to do something different.
Sure.
So.
And on the flip side of that, the other thing is too, do you look for people that are good at it by what you already have? And if so, then do you lack diversity? Do those fields not evolve anymore because you just get the same type of people over and over? And that's another thing the show explores a little. The main character, you find out later, was brought in because they would question this system, and that would help the system itself to evolve.
Yeah, it'd be very interesting for sure.
Okay.
Do you feel our world, our country, will head there?
You know, that's a really good question.
You wrote it down for me to ask you.
No, that's good. I tend to think not.
Yeah,
it may be so, but not in a time scale that we think so. There are a lot of futurists out there, people that call themselves futurists, that talk about, you know, this impending technological revolution and all those things, and dystopias or utopias.
Yeah.
Perfect worlds or completely terrible worlds. I tend to think that overall things kind of stay the same, and that those things may be a part of our world, but maybe not as soon as we think.
Yeah. It's similar to the classic Giver.
Yeah.
The Giver, which I think is going to come out in a movie here pretty soon.
Oh, okay.
So that'll be... anything else on that?
No, I think that's it. It's a little bit, it's an anime, so it's kind of edgy.
Yeah.
But it's definitely one of those that's introspective. It's kind of morally ambiguous. Those are the ones that I like, that make you think about something... real and human.
Yeah.
So, Psycho Pass, if you're interested, go watch it.
Kind of on a similar thing as far as the technological revolution, last night we watched, Now I'm totally drawing a blank.
We're going to have to edit out a couple seconds of this.
I had Johnny Depp, and it's brand new, and who cares what the name of the movie is? And he figured out how to upload his consciousness to a computer.
Ah, yeah, okay.
And then by doing that, I mean, in the premise of the movie, and if you're worried about it, me ruining it for you, I'm sorry, but I'm not going to cover up. But it was very interesting because his consciousness, once in the computer, was able to access all of human knowledge.
Oh, okay.
And then once he was networked, he was able to access every single thing, every single computer in the world that was on the internet, and was basically just about to control the world.
Free reign,
he was just growing exponentially in his intelligence and his abilities, and basically, like I said, I'm going to completely ruin it, but basically they had to make a virus that killed every single computer in the world to stop him. Wow. And they had to just shut it all down.
They had to wipe it. Yep.
They just, I mean, everything, which, you know, you think about that, everything just went dead.
Yeah.
And that was the only way to stop it. So it was an interesting idea.
Hmm.
But that the positives that he could have created were astounding. And I feel in that system as a psychopath, the positives could be interesting. You know, yes. There could be a lot of them, but are we willing to give up?
That's right.
Certain things.
That's absolutely right.
And they weren't. And they went back, and because they weren't willing to give up for it, they went back to
Stone Age, basically.
Stone Age, yeah.
Wow.
And it was just to be human.
Yep.
So forget that. I'm going to upload my consciousness to my iPhone.
And tomorrow, Adam will control the world.
As long as I get one of those cool computer voices.
Mr. Roboto Dreyer.
Yes, yes.
Very good. Okay, well, let's go on to the next segment.
All right, our next segment is
Blindsided.
So this is a question, and I, you know, when we originally discussed this segment, I had thought we'd do two questions for each segment, but we'll kind of see how it goes.
Yeah, 'cause
maybe one question will last long enough.
Fair enough. And I have a question ready for you, whether it's this show or next.
Well, I'm not ready for it.
Okay. Well, that's the perfect.
That's the point. Wait a second. Okay. So our first question is for Travis on the Blind Side. And I decided on my very first Blind Side to go with Would You Rather.
Oh, okay.
Because those are one of the most classics, right? So would you rather eat toenail? I'm just kidding. Would you rather? And this is going to take some explaining. And you also have to maintain the constraints. Of a would you rather question.
Okay.
You can't, you know, it's like, it's you can't wish for more wishes here.
Okay.
You gotta stay within my confines. Would you rather? I'm gonna focus on careers here and family.
Okay.
Live your whole life in a job that you hated that completely supported your family. You were able to provide them with a beautiful house, a car, college, everything they ever wanted, but you had to suffer through a 9-to-5 that you hated and the effects of that. You're angry when you get home, you're upset, you don't have fun, you don't like your job, all those kind of things. Or would you rather live your life in a career that you loved, that maybe that you were able to help people, that you were able to do all these amazing things and you enjoyed it, but you were always kind of on the brink of financial hard times.
Gotcha.
You weren't able to provide college for your kids. You weren't able to provide them with all the new things. You weren't able to provide them, you know. And I don't understand if some people don't have that choice, but I'm asking if you had the choice of which one to do. But on the second one, you would also have a lot of other things. You would always be happy. You would always, you know, be excited to come home, and you wouldn't have all those side effects of a job that's sucking the life out of you. And
gotcha.
And I feel a lot of people make this choice.
Mm-hmm.
They're choosing, am I going to choose a job that I can provide well, or am I going to choose one that I love? And it's kind of an interesting idea. I know you financial gurus, you'd be like, I'd choose the one that I love. And then I would invest in this, and I'd invest in this, and I'd make $1 million. No, it doesn't work.
Wow, that's a good question. It's a really good one. It trades one for the other, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's easy to say. I think if I had my real preference, it'd be to do something that I love.
Yeah.
Even if it, you know, as long as it provided base needs, you think it kind of the Maslow's hierarchy needs.
Yeah.
You gotta have food, you gotta have shelter.
Yeah.
So even if it was tight, I think I would prefer that. So the first thing I'm going to do is break your rule. And a lot of people that I read and listen to, if you do what you love and provide value to people, then the money will follow.
Yeah.
But it, you know, again, I think, however, even though I can say that's what I want, it's a lot easier to stick around and in reality go with what's comfortable and secure.
Yes.
And, you know, a lot of times the job that you love is to do something that maybe there isn't somebody willing to hire you for. You got to go out and create it on your own, be an entrepreneur or something. And a lot of us that are raised in, you know, seeing our parents be employees, and that's how they bring the bills, you know, yeah. That's how they pay the bills. It's just the mode that you replicate. It's less of what you want and more of what you see. So I think it's a very hard choice to make. But in a perfect world, if I can still provide for my family and, yeah. and be fulfilled in my job, that's what I would prefer.
Well, and it's an interesting concept, too, because of, and I feel this is going to come up a lot, but the unintended consequences. Because if I made that choice, you know, my children would see me make that choice. And by doing that, they would, you know, there's a good chance that they would believe that that's how the choices are made. I need to make a choice that, you know, it's okay to not like your job, but to support your family and, or be angry. And, you know, it'd be interesting. And it's interesting for me because to me, you know, thinking through that, it was a selfishness thing. Would I be willing to just accept the burden of a terrible job in order to provide all these amazing things for my family? Or would I be selfish and want to be happy despite
right.
not giving my family more?
That's right. And is it worth it for you to sacrifice yes. your happiness to give your family everything they could ever want?
But then it goes back to if you are more happy, would that not in turn create your family a more happy area? And although part of me leans towards I would want to provide everything I possibly can for my family, I've chosen to be a teacher.
And do you love it though?
I completely love my job, and mm-hmm. I don't think I'll ever leave teaching, and with the accepting that I will, I'm already pretty much, you know, pushing how much I'll ever make. And,
right, right.
And, you know, that's okay, but I might get summers off, so.
Maybe you can fill that gap with something, huh?
Yes, I don't ever work during the summers. I take naps.
Very good, very good. So did that answer your question, yeah. Adam? How about you? So obviously you said that you have chosen.
That's what was interesting about the question for me is there's a big part of me that would say I would accept that burden of hating my job to do what I can for my family, but then in real life I chose not to.
Yeah.
Now that's, you know, I understand people are saying, wow, you think you're smarter than you go out there and get this high paying job. You think you're, you know, I understand that I would have to go through a different route of education and maybe I don't have what it takes to be a high-level CEO or whatever, but I chose to go the teaching route, whether subconsciously knowing that I would always have, you know, we're not in financial trouble, but, you know, we're not as financially sound as the CEO.
Well, and, you know, the flip side of that is a lot of people that make a ton of money, too, you know, you redefine what wealth or what a lot of money means as you make more.
Yes.
And so if you were to be paid $50,000 a year from 25, you'd go, this is a huge amount of yes. money. And if you were to make $100,000 from 50, you'd go, well, this is a huge amount of money.
Yeah.
But if you compare between the two, so there's a lot of,
I understand that kind of question is just so
So there's been a lot of studies on if income correlates with happiness. And it turns out that it does to a level, but then it really, really levels off. So I think the number in the U.S., it's different per state, obviously, with cost of living. But I think the average is about $70,000 per family. And once you hit that, you know, and that's in most places, that's enough to provide for your basic needs and a yeah. couple of luxuries and live comfortably but not luxuriously. And that, you know, you get happier if you make $1 million versus $70,000. But it's much less than you would think it is. It caps off a lot.
Yeah.
The curve flattens out after around 70,000.
What I would find interesting, and I have absolutely no scientific basis for this, but what I would find interesting would be, and I've talked to my wife about this before, that the people who make a lot of money are just spending more money. And they're not that far off of the financial situation we are in. As far as, you know, okay, so if you make $50,000 a year and you're buying a $20,000 car compared to you know, if I start making 10 million and I start going buying Lamborghinis and 50 million, you know, or $1 million car, it's going to be very similar.
Right.
You know, I'm not going to buy a $100,000 house. I'm going to buy $1 million, you know.
Right.
And it would be interesting to know these far more wealthy people, ratio wise, how much debt they're in compared to us, or, you know, that kind of thing, and see if it is kind of equal.
Yeah.
It's just different.
So I think numbers. So and of course this is something that I'm passionate about, that I've studied. One of my favorite books of all time is The Millionaire Next Door by Thomas Stanley.
Okay.
Where he does a whole lot of this kind of research, and basically, regardless of income level, pretty much anybody that's in that situation, you know, that good situation, 70,000 or above, can become independently wealthy by being frugal, by you know. Like 90% of them have been married to one spouse for their entire life. There's a whole bunch of other statistics in there that just...
Are you saying divorces cost money?
I have heard that. Never experienced it myself and don't...
Let's try an experiment.
One of us will flip a coin and we'll get divorced.
Okay.
So I highly recommend The Millionaire Next Door for that exact thing. How do rich people really live? And I think that the answer... is oftentimes surprising. You know, yeah. A lot of really high income people, doctors and lawyers, are not wealthy because, you know, if you see a lawyer driving anything but, you know, a Mercedes, you think, well, he must not be very successful. And so it's kind of a pay to play where to be respected and successful as a lawyer, you kind of have to show the show, you know?
Yeah.
And,
or at least you convince yourself you do.
That's right.
But although society has convinced ourselves too of that. Which, you know, although I might think it's completely wrong, I would totally fall into that too.
Sure.
If I walked up to two lawyers and one presented himself far better than the others, there would be part of me that would think that person is better.
That's right. Yep.
Right or wrong.
Very cool. So, I think I would, if in an ideal world, I would pick passion.
Yeah.
The reality is obviously always more complicated.
You know? It is, but I think, you know, I picked passion. I think you did too.
Right.
No. You don't like what you do?
It's okay. And that's just it, you know. It would be really hard so far in my experience to do something that I love that would equal or exceed the income I can make as an engineer.
Okay.
So, and it's not that I hate what I do.
Yeah.
I like it. I like the people that I'm with. You know, I don't think it's a long-term solution for me, but
okay.
It's okay for now.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting because I have so many, you know, I have a lot of I have a lot of friends, but I don't. I have a number of friends and education, and it's interesting the differences in people, because I have one that teaches down in Tulsa, and he taught the exact same amount of years as me, I think 8 or 9, and he's moved on to a different position within the education, kind of going a different way, and he really wanted that, and I think he wanted a change. And I have a number of other friends who are going from teaching to, they want to go to administration. They want to be a principal or vice principal because they want that change and that movement. And I know a lot of education people that have made those statements. At some point, I would like to move on to a curriculum instruction coach or something like that and make that move. And it's interesting because I have no desire. At this point in my life, I'm absolutely happy being a fifth grade teacher for the next 30 years.
That's wonderful.
But there's that part of me that wants that, you know, climbing the ladder.
Right.
You know, but how would you get that within the constraints of
a
teacher?
Sure.
But, you know, it's interesting in that you say, you know, it's not a long-term goal for you, because I feel maybe it's just my personal how I need to be, because I need that. I mean, I'm happy knowing I'm going to be a teacher for the next 30 years.
Interesting.
And I'm okay with no change.
I think... Part of it is that, you know, I like but don't love my job.
Yeah.
Another part of it is, I think you just kind of get bored sometimes. And maybe that's a personality thing.
Yeah, too. I think it is a personality thing. Because, I mean, I do not feel like I've been teaching for 9 years. And I feel like I could be, and maybe this isn't good, maybe hopefully parents won't listen to this, but I feel like I could be so much better.
Hmm.
You know, I mean, I feel I've done a lot of things good, but I feel like there's, every year I'm still just like, I could have done a better job with that. I feel like I've only been teaching for a few years, and so...
Well, and each year you get a fresh crop of students. You get new people that you meet every time. So even if it's the same context, it's a different... Well, that was our first blindsided.
Yeah.
Let's... shall we move on?
We should. Ciao. I should stop sucking it.
And we'll get to there. So our next segment, our final segment for podcast number 2, is going to be Stop Sucking, where we give you something that helps you improve your life, or the way you think or act, hopefully anyway. And this comes from, a lot of these are going to come from my website, travislane.com, where you may have gotten this podcast, or if you got it off of iTunes or Zune or Stitcher, you can go there for other stuff from me. So today's is...
And you can go to my website if you want, but all you will find there is the week's vocabulary and spelling list for my class, as well as...
What is your site, Adam? You know, they may want that.
Thefifthgrade.com.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
If you want to know what our spelling words are for the week. But if you want to know how to improve yourself, go to Travis's site, because you probably know how to spell most of my words.
Well, you know what? A little bit of improvement at a time. Is onomatopoeia on your list?
What's that?
Okay, all right then.
Maybe people start on our website and learn the spelling words, and they get excited about learning new things, and they go to yours for deeper.
Yeah, see, it plays well.
Okay, like well done. Yeah.
So today's is mastering interpersonal skills with one sentence. And I'll just go ahead and read you the sentence so that you can master interpersonal skills, and we'll call
and then
it
the segment will be over.
And then we'll be done. So this is from Andy Stanley, who's the pastor of North Point Community Church. I love his podcast. It's the Your Move podcast. It's their weekly sermon. They claim to be a church that unchurched people love to attend. So even if you're not a church person, I think that you'll find it practical for better living.
And this might be getting into something we'll get into some other time, but I hope that people, either unchurched or non-believers, are able to understand that some of these things are completely able to apply to your life in general.
Agreed.
This doesn't have to be a religious God thing. This is, you know, this is good stuff, no matter what your belief is. And I feel that's part of our society's problem is, oh, I came from a church.
That's right. It's so polar. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. So I think people that will listen to this podcast will be able to understand that it's for content. So,
yes.
Anyway, so Andy Stanley said in a sermon not too long ago, when we meet somebody who's humble, we're attracted to them. And when we meet someone who's arrogant, we're repulsed. So I think that sums up so much. Adam, do you have somebody that you don't like?
You know, I mean, I'll start with myself. I am the most humble person I've ever met.
That's. I have no response for that. You have finished that conversation.
I love everybody, Travis.
I know, right?
We're gonna have to be careful to not give too many specifics about the people we don't like, right? Uh-huh. To make sure that there is something I don't like, and I'm married to her. No, I'm just oh crap!
I'm sorry. I'm
was
so
that too
sorry.
Specific? Just kidding. I love my wife completely.
we might chop that.
There are definitely people that I do not like, and after reading this thing from your blog, I found it in that statement. I found it so dead on, because of, as far as the people that I don't like to be around, and I tell my kids this. I'm not gonna say I hate them. There's I don't know if there's many people that I hate. Mm-hmm. There are just people that I would choose not to be around because
exactly
they just do not make my life positive.
Exactly. So what do you think it is about those people? Do you think that statement applies, that you don't like them because they're arrogant in some way, that they think they're better than you, that their opinion is superior, that they deserve all the talking time?
It'll be interesting to see if people listening agree, because before I read that, I mean, that was especially when, you know, talking to my close friends or complaining about people in my life that I don't enjoy. That is the exact thing. And the biggest part is they don't listen.
That's right.
They don't listen, and they don't care about my, you know, what's going on in my life or my side of things.
They're always taking your time.
It is completely centered around them, and I don't enjoy people like that.
Yeah.
And so yeah, it was interesting. I completely agree with the quote.
Very cool. So I think that the concept, and I mentioned this in the post. I think that the concept is one that a lot of people have said in one way or another. So Zig Ziglar, as a favorite motivational writer, self-improvement writer of mine, says that you can get everything you want in life if you help enough other people get what they want. So that's a very, you know, subservient, self-sacrificing mm-hmm. kind of thing. You get what you want by being humble and not being arrogant, trying to give instead of take your slice of the pie. Dale Carnegie and How to Win Friends and Influence People, another huge favorite of mine, gives a whole bunch of principles, but among them are become genuinely interested in other people, be a good listener and encourage others to talk about themselves and to talk in terms of the other person's interest. And then from Scripture, James 3:13 says to show your wisdom by acting in humility. So I think that this is something that it's one sentence that summarizes or, you know, puts in place what a lot of people have said and realized.
Well, I did a little bit of research on it, and it was, you know, you Google how to be more likable. Humbleness and listening better are pretty much on every single list.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually kind of just almost funny to me that so many people say, if you want to be liked, listen better, and, you know, just be more humble.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Apparently, there's a lot of people in this world who have never Googled how to be more likable.
Well, it's sort of a catch-22. They think they're great, and that causes them to behave arrogantly, and that causes people to further dislike them.
I would like to challenge us then. Let's have a conversation right now to see who can be more humble and listen better.
So is it humble or self-deprecating?
So, Travis, you know, how's your day?
It's not as good as yours.
Well, I'd like to hear why. You know why? Tell me about your.
You know, when you talked, when you said that, your voice was just so robust. I just want to listen to you talk.
Well, it's interesting you say that because I actually model my voice off of yours.
Okay. Oh man. Okay. So, master interpersonal skills. Be humble. It's I find it to be really great.
And I, you know, maybe if my few friends do listen to this podcast, maybe they'll disagree with me, but I feel I have tried to do that. I think about the times when I'll talk to somebody I haven't talked to for like a week or two, and they'll specifically ask me about something that we discussed last time I was around them. Oh, how, and especially if it's the dumbest little thing in the world. Oh, so the last time I talked to you, you were vacuuming, and like, and you were saying you were having problems getting, you know, getting that back corner. Like, did you get that taken care of? And I'd be like, no, no matter how dumb it was, I'd be like, you listen.
Yes.
You know, and that's a cool thing, I think. And that's something that makes a connection to people for sure.
Well, I think, you know, I think that this is really important for making a connection. Once you're close friends, I think there's a lot more of personal exchange. You get to know each other. You know that you're invested in each other. And you can be a little bit more honest and open instead of just listening. I think that it goes back and forth. But I think that, you know, that's probably what you find in most good friendships is there's exchange back and forth. Both people are listening. Both people are contributing. And that's what makes for a good relationship.
Next time around one of those people that's just not listening, I'm just going to look at them and say, stop sucking.
That's it. And it'll echo.
Stop sucking.
And just keep saying that until they shut up.
They'll be like, what'd you say? Sucking. And maybe it'll just freak them out and they'll just go away from me. Maybe that's more
it works point. On both levels. One way or another, it's a solution. Well, why don't you take us out, Adam?
Okay, well, I'm going to try to be more humble in my life, but it's impossible. I am just so humble. Well, thank you for listening to our second podcast, doubling the amount we've ever done.
Amazing.
It is amazing. I feel like we've been doing this for years.
Yeah, it's natural.
We hope you listen to our next one. Again, feel free to email us or contact us at podcast@travislane.com. Visit our website, thefifthgrade.com. Just kidding. You can go there if you want. It'd be cool. All right. Well,
see ya. All right. See you next time.